Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pacharne Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarne. It should actually be given when the speaker sits down, not just randomly, whenever you feel like it. Anyway, thank you very much. I slowed down the instruments because you're supposed to follow the leader. It's easier if the leader is playing some instrument also to follow, but just you wanted to go very quickly at the beginning and I didn't, so you slowed down. But then when I wanted to go faster, you were stuck in the slower speed. So you have to hear and follow. There are some incidents of Srila Prabhupada stopping the kirtan and chastising the mridanga player for not following the leader, just going at his own speed. So you have to hear and play at the same speed, not that you think that I think the kirtan should go faster, so I start doing it. You have to follow the leader. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 8, text 19. Bhuta Grama Saevayam. Bhutva Bhutva Praliyate. Ratragamevasha Partha. Prabhavatyaharagame. Bhuta Grama Saevayam. Bhutva Bhutva Praliyate. Ratriagamevasha Partha. Prabhavatyaharagame. Alright, someone else chant.
Bhuta Grama Saevayam.
Bhuta Grama Saevayam.
Bhutva Bhutva Praliyate.
Bhutva Bhutva Praliyate.
Ratyagamevasha Partha.
Ratyagamevasha Partha.
Prabhavatyaharagame.
Bhuta Grama Saevayam.
Bhutva Bhutva Praliyate.
No, 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 no. Where's the, you said Ratri Agame Avasha. Where's the that you insert? I don't see. After Agame you said Avasha. But it's not Avasha. It is, but not when it comes after Agame. Say it again. Again and again, when Brahma's day arrives, all living entities come into being, and with the arrival of Brahma's night, they are helplessly annihilated. Purport. The less intelligent who try to remain within this material world may be elevated to higher planets and then again must come down to this earth planet. During the daytime of Brahma, they can exhibit their activities on higher and lower planets within this material world, but at the coming of Brahma's night, they are all annihilated. In the day they receive various bodies for material activities, and at night they no longer have bodies but remain compact in the body of Vishnu. Then again they are manifest at the arrival of Brahma's day. Bhudva, Bhudva, Praliyate. During the day they become manifest, and at night they are annihilated again. Ultimately, when Brahma's life is finished, they are all annihilated and remain unmanifest for millions and millions of years. And when Brahma is born again in another millennium, they are again manifest. In this way, they are captivated by the spell of the material world. But those intelligent persons who take to Krishna consciousness, use the human life fully in the devotional service of the Lord, chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thus they transfer themselves, even in this life, to the spiritual planet of Krishna and become eternally blissful there, not being subject to such rebirths. Buddha Bhuta grama sa eva ayam bhutva bhutva praliyate ratyagame vasha parta prabhavatyaharagame. Again and again, when Brahma's day arrives, all living entities come into being, and with the arrival of Brahma's night, they are helplessly annihilated. This verse and this series of verses gives a very powerful, striking view of our situation within this material world. How we are taking birth again and again, and die again and again, and at the time of Brahma's, even Brahma has to die. He has such a long life. His one day is so long we can hardly imagine. And at that time we are forced to lose consciousness for a very, very long time. And again we come out, and again we're born, again we die, again we're born. Helplessly. This word, avashaha, means we're under control. We're controlled. With this sense of being the controller, Ishvaro Hum, I'm in control, such a big illusion. Some measure of control can be given. The Kshatriya is supposed to have, the pious Kshatriya is supposed to have Ishvara Bhava, the sense of being the controller. He's supposed to have that. He's supposed to, but in the sense of manifesting the potency of the Supreme Lord for protecting others. So some measure of control, but it's very, very tiny. And birth and death we have no control over. Of course, an intelligent person tries to act in this life in such a way that they will be elevated in the next life. But we can't control it. We can't. The fact that we have to die, we can't control that. The fact that we have to be born again, we can't control it. Jatasya hi dhruva mrityo dhruvang janma mrityasya cha. Those who are born, they have to die. Those who die, they have to be born. It goes on and on and on. We control them. Yeah, we can't control. We should try to act in such a way that we're elevated, but ultimately it's not up to us what next life we get. Karmana daiva netrena jantur deho papateya. Under the supervision of the Supreme Lord and various demigods, they judge our previous activities in human birth, and they decide what our next birth should be. It's not under our control. We can try to make a future better life. We should try. But the example is there. It's one example of a famous example of Nriga Maharaj, who tried so hard. He dedicated his whole life to getting a future elevated position. And due to something beyond his control, he ended up as a lizard. Completely hellish situation. beyond his control. He couldn't do anything about it. Of course, he was fortunate enough ultimately to get Krishna's mercy, a form of Krishna's direct touch and directly seeing Krishna. But the point is there that however piously we may act, we may even unknowingly perform some impious act for which we have to be punished. But we should act in this way, in a manner that we will be elevated, understanding what is our situation in this material world. To feel comfortable in this world is very, very dangerous. It seems like a contradiction, because if we feel comfort, we feel, now I'm out of danger. You see, I was sitting here comfortably, and then some creature is buzzing around. So my comfort is disturbed, buzzing around my ears. So the idea that, oh yes, now I have a nice house, all my bills are paid, friends or neighbors are all very nice, I have everything that I need, I'm very comfortable. Comfort is a great illusion, because we're always in a dangerous position. We think that going on the street is dangerous, because we might get hit by a truck or something like this, but at least in the Western countries where they keep more statistics, there are more people suffer from accidents at home than on the roads. It's more dangerous to be at home than to be on the roads. Yeah. Somehow or other, accidents or maybe acts of domestic violence or whatever. So it's intelligent to feel oneself to be uncomfortable in this material world. That's the beginning, as I explained yesterday. That is the beginning of the spiritual quest. The real spiritual life means to be fully in love with Krishna. But in our present situation, in this material world, if we can just understand, I don't belong here, we should feel very, it's a very bad situation. We're all on death row. Death row means people, they are condemned to death, and they're waiting in their prison cell. They're just waiting until the time of their execution. Already the verdict has been given. They have to be executed, and they're just sitting in the prison, maybe a few days or whatever. So all they have to do, they don't have anything else to do except wait for death. They're stuck in the prison. So we're all in that situation. It's a very bad situation. And then we say, well, I'll get born again. Yeah, born again for what? To suffer again. For some people, death is a... death may seem very nice because they're suffering so much. Some people, they commit suicide because they think that death is better to be dead than alive. There's in European history, one of the famous figures is Marie Antoinette. I can't pronounce properly in French, because English people are not supposed to pronounce properly in French. Nor can they. And well, they could do. Some of them do. So she was sent to the guillotine, which was some very efficient device meant for chopping people's heads off, invented by one Monsieur Guillotine. So it was very useful at the time of the French Revolution, where they were cutting people's heads off, many people. So she was taken for having her head cut off. And someone said to her, don't be afraid, be calm and don't be disturbed. She said, I'm not disturbed. For me, this is the best thing that can happen. Because formerly she'd been the mistress of the queen and living in luxury, and then she was arrested and humiliated and put in very difficult situations. She thought, oh, it's very nice to be dead. better living like this, it's better to be dead. Of course, the problem with this is that death isn't the end. It just means you go to another phase of suffering, that's all. But sometimes going from one phase of suffering to another, there's some illusion that there's some relief. The example is given in the Bhagavatam. Someone is carrying a heavy weight on his shoulder and he puts it on the other shoulder and thinks, oh, phew, such a relief. I got it off that shoulder because it's on the other shoulder now. And the cumulative effect of carrying it on the shoulder, it as you carry it more and more, it becomes more and more strained. So you feel, now it's okay. But then again, the same pain comes that you had on the previous shoulder. So it's no solution to go from one bad situation to another. Pan, I said, yeah, inadvertently. So there's an English saying, out of the frying pan into the fire. You see, you're being cooked in a frying pan, karai or whatever. So you say, this is very bad, I have to get out. So you jump out and you land up in the fire. There must be sayings like that in every language. So this is our situation. But Srila Prabhupada points out here in the purport, the less intelligent who try to remain within the material world may be elevated to higher planets. So some people think that, it states in the Vedic literature, if you act piously, you can be elevated to the higher planets. So they don't want to go there, don't they? They want to remain within the material world. And if you tell them that, well, actually you can get liberated, they say, well, what are we liberated for? That's for losers. That's for people who are not a success. That's for people who can't get it together. Is people go and join some spiritual organization because they're a failure in the material world. So they think, what's this? Liberation, renouncing the world. There's so much to enjoy in the world. Why should you renounce it? That's only for people who are failures. They can't enjoy it, so they renounce. Sannyasi, most inauspicious, according to them. If you see a sannyasi, it's very inauspicious because they've renounced the world. They've renounced the dharma. The highest dharma is griha dharma, according to these people. Because the home is the place of all happiness. And there are statements in Shastra like that also. So you have to choose which ones you want. But the fact, you can choose the ones which recommend material enjoyment, but there's a package which goes with it, which is called Bhutva Bhutva Praliyate. Again and again, getting born again and again, dying. And they say, yeah, okay, that's all right, but anyway, what's the harm? Gata gatam kama kama labhante. We have to come back and we'll go again to the heavenly planets. We'll fulfill all our desires. So they think it's very good to be born again. And born again, we have to get born again, we can't avoid that. But in my next life, I'll be, as in this life, by performing pious activities, I'll be elevated to the heavenly planets, and then I'll enjoy, and then I'll come back down again to this planet and do more sacrifices, and then again go up. This is all foolishness. And even more foolishness is people, they don't even believe that there's a next life. They think it's all over when you're finished. Either King Puna Agamano Bhavit, either it's just completely finished. The body is the self, and when it dies, that's it. Finished. Absolutely finished. And there's another class of people who think the body is the self, and when it dies, there's some kind of hibernation until Jesus comes, and then he revives your body, and you get the same smelly, stinky body, and it revives, and then you either go to heaven forever or hell forever. So, either way, it's gross foolishness. And even those who understand that there is rebirth, well, they're in a better position than those who don't. At least it's an important point to understand, but having understood that, to think that, well, okay, what's next? What's next to enjoy? Overlooking the fact that this material world is actually very miserable. Many years ago, well, many according to our flash lifespan, but this must have been in, I guess, the early 1980s. I heard this, or I read this, that Bhagavan Das, he was the GBC in Italy at the time, he said there'd been a survey among people. Maybe it was just done as a joke or whatever, I don't know, because in Italy, in general, people don't believe in reincarnation. Maybe they do more now that so many of Prabhupada's books have been distributed there. But in Western culture, the idea of reincarnation is, it's increasingly being accepted, but it is considered rather odd. I didn't even hear about it in this lifetime till I was in my teenage years. And to me, it seemed to make a lot of sense, but people who believed in such things were thought rather cranky at that time. So anyway, a survey was done, and people were asked, what would they like to be in your next life? What kind of body would you have? And most of people said, I'd like to be a dog or a horse. Because in the Western countries, the dog is VIP. They look after the dog very nicely. And even sometimes people, they leave their whole estate to their dog. That in Detroit, in the United States, there's one very beautiful house, very expensive house, which is now the center of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. It was a very expensive house, but we got it cheaply because that area became a very bad area. But anyway, the previous owner who built such a luxurious house, he left it all to his dog. And there's an option in some countries that you can leave your wealth to your dog or your cat. I'm not sure if you could leave it to a goldfish or a budgerigar, but you can leave it to dogs and cats. And then some human has to administer the estate on behalf of the dog, who has no idea because he doesn't have enough intelligence to understand that I am the owner of all this big house. So most of the people say they want to be a dog or a horse. Some people say they want to be a snake. And one person asked, is it possible to be a human again? Foolishness. Foolishness. They're so proud of their advanced civilization, but they're absolute foolishness. What is the basis of modern life? Well, it's the basis of ancient life. It's the basis of life in this material world, foolishness. But especially in the present age, foolishness of thinking that the more motor cars, the motor car civilization, the more cars we have and bombs and internet and all this is advancement, this is progress. But as Srila Prabhupada pointed out, the dog is running on four legs and you're running on four wheels, but you have no higher aim of life, so you've simply following the same propensities as the dog does. So we should consider our good fortune to even be here and discussing these things, to even think about these things. Of course, the young boys here, they didn't have much say in it. They were sent here by their parents, and the rest of you have come voluntarily. You want to hear about these things. And the young boys also, they like to hear because they're getting good association. But there's not many people who are even interested in these things. So that's the good fortune. Brahmanda, Brahmite, Kono Bhagavan Jeev, Guru Krishna Prasade Pai, Bhakti Lata Beej. Those are among many, many millions, billions, zillions. Eta Brahmanda Bhari, Ananta Jivagon, Charashi Lakka Jonite Kariye Brahman. how many unlimited number of living beings populate the universe, and they're dispersed in 84 like species. So out of them, someone may be fortunate in the course of wandering around, getting born, dying, getting born, dying, getting born, dying, in the course of human life, to get the mercy of Guru and Krishna and get the seed of the plant, the creeper, of devotional service. So having got that mercy, by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, one gets the idea of devotional service. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu further explains, and then what should we do having got that mercy is, Tate Krishna Bhaje Kare Guru Shaivan Maya Jala Chute Pai Krishna Charan. Therefore we should worship Krishna, serve the lotus feet of the Guru, and as a result the bondage of, we'll be freed from the bondage of Maya, and we'll attain to the lotus feet of Krishna. So it's a very great opportunity. We're not in control. We can't guarantee by chanting Hare Krishna that we'll go back to Godhead in this very life. But we have a good assurance that if we approach Krishna, he's not, even though he's not bound, he's not forced to reciprocate in exactly the way that we want to. But if we actually develop love for Krishna, then he does come under the control of his devotees. And if we do chant Hare Krishna, it's all auspicious. Even if we have to be born again, it will be in a favorable situation for further practicing Krishna consciousness. Generally, certain situations are considered favorable. If we think in my next life, what should I be in Bhagavad Gita? Well, first of all, you think, well, I want to get out of this world and go to Krishna. What do you want to be in your next life? I don't want to have a next life. And if in, on the survey, I want to be a snake or a dog or a horse. Well, I don't want to get born again. I don't want to be a, what do you want to be? You want to be a snake, a horse, a dog, a cat? What do you want to be? I don't want to be any of those things. Whatever life we're in, there's birth, death, old age, disease, suffering again and again. So some situations are better than others. Shuchinam Srimatam Gehe Yoga Bhrashto Bhijayate. One who is incomplete in their practice of yoga, someone who's trying to get free from birth and death, but they're not completely successful in one life, or they fall from the practice of yoga. In their next life, they can take birth in a family of brahmanas or vaishyas, pious people, or rich kshatriyas or vaishyas, pious people. And as a result, they will again take up the practice of yoga until they achieve perfection. Again, they will remember, oh yes, I want to take that up. So some situations are more favorable. Birth in India is generally considered more conducive for taking up Krishna consciousness. And actually, until Srila Prabhupada went to the Western countries, there was no one. There were many devotees in India, but not many in... No, there were none. None in the Western countries. Outside of India, there weren't. At the land that's presently known of India. Among ages, times, the Kali Yuga is very good time to be born, surprisingly. Kaling sabhajyantyarya gunagya sarabhagina yatra sankirtanayanaiva sarava swartho bilabhyate. In Bhagavatam, it's stated that persons who are very expert at ascertaining the essence of everything. Persons who are very thoughtful and have understood things very well, they think Kali Yuga is very good. Because in this Kali Yuga, simply by performing Sankirtan, one can fulfill all necessities. Everything is, all good results come. Whereas in other ages, it's very difficult. So that's a good quality of Kali Yuga. So birthing Kali Yuga, even in Satya Yuga and other ages, people desire to take birth in this age because in this age there will be more devotees of the Supreme Lord. Sometimes we wonder when we hear that there are verses like what is that? Kotishvapi Mahamune Narayana Parasarve Nakutna Muktanam Api Siddhanam Narayana Parayana. What's the next line? Sudurlabha Prashantana Kotishvapi Mahamune. That we become surprised when we hear verses that a devotee of Narayana is so rare. they're so rare, even among many great sages. Many of them. It's very rare to find one devotee of Narayana. We think, well, they're not this time, maybe two or three visits previously to in Dubai. I was looking out of the window. I was on a window overseeing a main street and so many people walking around with bead bags. If you look out of the window at any time, if you wait a few minutes, you'll see someone with a bead bag. Means, because even though it's a Muslim country, it's very open, and so the devotees are from India, they're not local Emiratis, Arabs. They'll walk around with their bead bags, and some of them wear tilak as they go out in the street. So you may say, well, you just look on the street and you'll find probably in some Bangalore, in some areas, in every street, there'll be some devotees. At some level, either in our Gauriya line, that means there's ISKCON Bombay, ISKCON Bangalore, Narayan Maharaj followers, there are Sri Vaishnavas, there are Madhvas, probably a few Vallabh Sampradaya. I know some Vallabh Sampradaya people in Bahrain who are in Mysore, so probably there are some in Bangalore also. So there's going to be Vaishnavas everywhere. So you may think, well, how is it that they're so rare? Well, in Kali Yuga, there are more Vaishnavas. And actually, particularly Bhagavatam states in South India, further south than Telangana. Means particularly states where the Tamrapani, I believe that's now called the Vagai, that means that goes through Madurai, Kaveri, used to go through Tamil Nadu, now it only gets as far as, well, some of the year. Otherwise, it's mostly kept in Karnataka. Doesn't reach there anymore. Doesn't reach it. So on the banks of these pious rivers, there are many devotees. And that particularly indicates the Alavas of the, what came to be known as the Ramanuja Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya. I got the verse here. Yeah. Tamrapani, Kritamala, Payasvini. No, Kritamala, I believe, is Vagai. Is it, do you know? Kritamala is Vagai. It's the Tamil name. No one knows the Sanskrit name anymore. Payasvini, Kaveri, Pratichi. I don't know, where is that river, you know? They're all in, they must be there, but they have different names now, Tamil. But some rivers in Tamil Nadu still have Sanskrit names, some of them. Tamrapani, there's one I saw near to Salem, I can't remember. Anyway, the point is, some have become extinct.
That is Vegavati.
Vegavati, but they're not Vegavati anymore. They're just There's no water left. It's just struggling to stay alive. Velor, there's a big bridge between Velor and Katpadi. That's the Vegavati, is it? But no water. That's a symptom of Kali Yoga. No water. But anyway, the people, they want to take birth in Kali Yuga. They think it's a better opportunity to practice Krishna consciousness, and especially in South India. And of course, the influence of those, of the Vaishnavas spread here also. Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya spread here. It's been very influential in this area. Yadgiri Guta, they're all Sri Vaishnava. From Telangana also came Vallabhacharya. But his preaching was mostly in North India. Vishnu Swami? Which one? One of them was from Telangana also? Original. In the heavenly planets, that's also stated in the Bhagavatam, the residents of the heavenly planets, they think, we got here, we're dancing with the Apsaras, but it's not really that good. That's the nature of material enjoyment. You think it'll be good, good, but when you get it, it's not as good as you think it would be. It's called, what is that called? Shruti Sukh? Something like that. When you hear about it, you think it's good, but when you actually get it, it's not so good. So some of the residents of the heavenly planets, they think that in our future birth, if there's any piety left over from our wasting our time jumping around here with dancing with the Apsaras, then let us be born in Bharatavarsha. So, because that's a good place for executing Krishna consciousness. Why? Because Krishna himself personally comes to this land. Krishna comes, Rama comes, other forms, especially these two forms. Krishna, Rama, Rama Ramachandra, Balaram. Ramachandra and Balaram and Nityananda, they all traveled extensively in this land and purified this land. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also traveled widely. So, this land has become pious because of that. So, very great opportunity. If we have to be born again, then to be born in this land is very good opportunity. Of course, there is one anecdote of two sannyasis, disciples of Srila Prabhupada, were at the Radharaman temple in Vrindavan. They'd visited there from the temple of ISKCON, Krishna Balaram temple. I'm not sure if it was established at that time, or at least they, at Ramanriti. Sorry, Ramanriti is just outside Vrindavan at the time. So they were taking darshan of Radharaman with great devotion, and seeing this, one of the priests at the temple said, "Oh, you have so much devotion. In your next life," he was giving them a blessing, "in your next life, you could be born in India and worship the deity like me." So they went back and they saw Srila Prabhupada at the ISKCON site and told Srila Prabhupada about this. And Srila Prabhupada said, "You should have told him that because of your worship of Radharaman, in your next life you can be born in the Western countries and preach Krishna consciousness all over the world." So it's better. As I noted in my dedication to that book on pilgrimage in holy India, dedicated to the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada, who's service to whose lotus feet is better than visiting millions of holy places. He is
Tirtha Bhuta, he Swayam Prabhu, he himself makes the holy places. He makes the Tirthas into Tirthas. Bhavadvidha Bhagavatas, Tirtha Bhuta Tirtha Bhuta Swayam Prabhu. Tirtha Kurvanti Tirthani Swantastena Gadabhita, as Yudhishthira and others said to Vidura when he came back from pilgrimage, that you are a great devotee. Because you carry Krishna in your heart, you make Tirtha Kurvanti Tirthani. You, because you are a Tirtha, then you make the places which are called Tirthas, you make them into Tirthas by your presence. Tirtha means a place for crossing over. We can easily cross from the material world to the spiritual world. So, great devotees, they're like that. Gangara parasho haile paschate bhavan pavan darshane pavitra karo eito margo. Narottam Das sings about the great Vaishnavas, that the Ganges river is famous for purifying, but that purification only takes place if you touch or bathe in the Ganga many times. But just by seeing or being in the presence of a great devotee, one immediately is purified or can be purified. So, taking birth, first thing we should think, if I have to be born again, let me be born in the association of the Vaishnavas. I'll discuss that more in another session if I live long enough in this body to do so. Otherwise, I'll finish here. Any questions on this? No. Okay. Yeah, okay. I said, I'll try and teach you something non-Indian English. If you say told, you have to say you told us. If you say I said or I told you, you told us. It has to. If you say told, it means you're specifically saying something to someone or to some group of people. The normal way of saying it in English would be, I said, you said. Yeah, go on.
Basically, you guys full of words. And simply by holy name we can attain perfection. And we can see that many of us going to job and squeezing our rounds here and there. So,
chanting the holy names leads to perfection, but there are many who are working in their job and squeezing in their rounds here and there. So
how we can understand that actually the holy name is everything what we need?
By the holy names, everything is perfect. Everything that you need is there. Well, there's also a process of Nam Bhajan. They're taking the holy names, but one has to. There's a difference in taking, chanting the holy names offensively, chanting the names purely, chanting the holy names attentively, chanting the names inattentively.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what is that? In the Shikshashtaka press, the last chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Harshe Prabhu Kahe Shuna Sharup Ram Rai, Kalo Nam Sankirtan Parama Upai. He said, jubilantly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Swarup Damodar and Rai Ramananda that in Kali Yuga, the main means, here he says the main means of deliverance is Nama Sankirtan. So that he says, and then is the first verse of Shikshashtaka is given. Then later on in that chapter,
ki rupe nam loile loile prema upajoy taha lokon shuno shurup ramrai. He says, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, in which manner the name is to be chanted so that prema, love of Krishna, arise within the heart, those characteristics you hear Sarup and Ram Rai. So what is that? Trinadapi sunichena tarore vasa hishna amanina amanadena kirtaniya sadahari. So there, if in that last chapter, 20th chapter of Antilila of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, you'll find that the Shikshashika verses are given, and there's a little introduction to all of them given in Bengali, and afterwards also some explanation of them. So there's a certain way of chanting. It's not that just any chanting in any way. Any chanting in any way will have some effect. What is that? Sanketyam parihasamba stobam helam evaba Vaikuntha nama grahanat. What's the last line? You know the verse? Vaikuntha nama grahanat. And then the punchline is the fourth line, which I can't remember because I have a Kali Yoga brain. Sanketyam, Sanketyam. It's from Bhagavatam, this verse. Sanketyam parihasam va stobam helamana evacha vaikuntha nama grahanat. So to indicate something else, sanketyam, in joking, in praise or neglectfully, anyone who accepts the name of Vaikuntha. What is it? What's the last line? Sanketyam. Didn't look it up? Yeah. Sanket. Sanket. Means, you know the word Sanket. They have on the back of lorries in South India, in North India. Sanket Do.
Sanketam parihasyam va stobam helanam eva va vaikuntha nama grihanam
asheshagam udanvati. Harang vidu. Asheshagam harang viduhu. Persons who are wise, learned, they say that unlimited numbers of sins are destroyed by chanting the holy name. So one can get that effect by, one can be freed from sin even neglectfully chanting. But love of Krishna, that's something else. Then one has to undergo the process of Naam Bhajan. That's a good verse to learn. Those are all learning verses. There are so many verses, so many. Sanketyam parihasyam va stobam helam eva va vaikuntha nama grahanam asheshagam harang viduhu. Yeah, as I said, the last line is the pun, gives the essence of the whole verse. So many verses. And my brain was already half destroyed by the time I arrived in this moment. So at least these young boys, they can learn. Anyway, chant. Some or other chant. But the alternative to living in the city, somehow or other chanting your rounds, is to come here. Grihastas staying in these communities, they have the same opportunity as brahmacharis living in an ashram. They can have full morning program, full evening program, live with devotees. We were just discussing that last night, that grihastas, those grihastas who have joined these communities, they appreciate it. They can live with the austerities, no electricity, that's considered a great austerity. The heat and the cold and chopping firewood instead of just turning on the gas. They can appreciate that better than brahmacharis. Why is that? because they have to suffer the heat and all these kind of things. But they're appreciating that we have full Krishna consciousness, morning program, evening program, whereas in the city we have to work and we don't have time for sadhana. So it's really worth it. A little physical austerity, it's really worth it because we get time for being Krishna conscious. But the brahmacharis, they think, well, I can live in the city and have a full morning program and evening program and have electricity too. Because they live in the ashram, so the grihasthas can appreciate it more if they're actually Krishna conscious. And I gave the example of in Gujarat, we have that farm there, and all grihasthas living there, they don't complain. It's hot there for most of the year, as it is hot here, but they're not complaining, they're happy because, oh, we don't have to work in the city, and we can have full Krishna conscious program and festivals. They're very happy. So that's the alternative. And there are those who think, well, we can live in the country and have all the facilities of the city also. Ha 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 ha. But you can't trick Maya so easily. You bring the city and then it gradually grows and the country becomes the city. And then you have to maintain all these, you have to bring money to maintain all these things, you have to go to the city to bring money. It's a trap. The comfort trap. Human life is meant for tapasya. There should be some voluntarily acceptance of bodily difficulties for the sake of spiritual advancement. Anything else? Hmm? Why do they want to take birth as different animals? Ask them, I don't know. It doesn't make any sense to me. They're in Maya. They think being a dog, well, maybe being a dog is better than being a human in the Western world, because the dog, they get well looked after, they don't have any anxiety, they don't have to go to work. The humans suffer so much anxiety so they can maintain their dog. Great distress occurs in people's life when their dog dies. Oh, it was my good friend for so many years. It's really insane how much they're attached to dogs in the Western world. It's just completely insane. People show you their dogs as if you're supposed to get... In America once... One woman came out to myself and bade Narayana and showed, oh, this dog just came to me just after my mother died, as if it's some divine arrangement. See, I was feeling so distressed, my mother died, and then the dog came to me, sent by some divine beings to help her. Oh, it's just... crazy people. Everyone in this world is crazy. Anyway, Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.